A word of introduction. My name is Ryan Anderson, and I'm a research fellow here at the Heritage Foundation, and I'm delighted to be able to host today's event. In 2007, Boston Children's Hospital became, as its website brags, quote, the first major program in the United States to focus on transgender children and adolescents. Today, just a little more than a decade later, over 45 pediatric gender clinics have opened their doors to our nation's children. Parents are told that puberty-blocking drugs and cross-sex hormones may be the only way to prevent their children from committing suicide. Never mind that the best studies show that somewhere between 80 and 95% of children who express a discordant gender identity will come to identify with their bodily sex if natural development is not interfered with. Never mind that 41% of adults who identify as transgender attempt suicide at some point in their lives. Never mind that people who have had sex reassignment surgery are 19 times more likely than the average population to die by suicide. These statistics are tragic, and they should stop us in our tracks. They should be more than enough to halt the headlong rush into transitioning and prompt us to find more effective ways to prevent these tragic outcomes. Most of all, we shouldn't be encouraging children to transition or making heroes and role models out of those who have done so.
I am a mother whose daughter has identified as transgender since the age of 14. I am here today because I love her and because I care deeply about her and other kids who identify as transgender. I'm going to explain to you what happens when parents seek out expert advice to help their transgender identifying children explore their feelings and discomfort with their sex. What is affirmative care? The current standard of treatment promoted by medical and psychological associations is called affirmative care. While this sounds nice, affirmative care leads directly to putting children on the path to medical transition with little chance of turning back. Let me explain to you how this works. If you take your child to a clinic to seek help, affirmative care means the therapist must follow the child's lead. The professionals must accept a child's gender identity. In fact, this is the law in many states. Under conversion therapy bans, questioning a child's gender identity is now illegal. So if a little boy is 5 years old and believes he is the opposite sex, affirmative care means going along with his beliefs. Parents are encouraged to refer to him as their daughter and let him choose a feminine name. Teachers are told to let him use the girls' bathroom at school. Therapists will reassure parents that social transition is harmless and reversible. Is it really harmless to tell a child who still believes in the tooth fairy that he is the opposite sex? Isn't it quite likely that this child is just confused? If a 10-year-old girl is uncomfortable with her developing body and suddenly insists she is a boy, affirmative care means blocking this girl's puberty with powerful drugs. Doctors will tell parents this is a perfectly safe and reversible way for her to explore her gender. Affirmative care does not help this child get to the cause of her discomfort. Medicating her with these drugs is not safe. In fact, her future fertility, sexual functioning, and bone development may be negatively impacted. Once the teenage years begin, affirmative care means giving young people cross-sex hormones. Girls as young as 12 are prescribed testosterone for lifetime usage, while boys are given estrogen. These are serious hormonal treatments that impact brain development, cardiovascular health, and may increase the risk of cancer. There are no long-term studies to prove this is necessary, safe, or prudent, while there are many known hazards to using these same hormones when medically treating adults. There are teenage girls undergoing radical hysterectomies in the name of gender identity. It is not acceptable for doctors to remove healthy limbs from children, so why is it acceptable for doctors to remove healthy reproductive organs from children? I am here today not just because I care about children who identify as transgender, but because I also care about their parents and other family members. Parents are doing everything they can to help their kids lead healthy, happy, and fulfilling lives. Yet when parents seek out experts for help, they receive a one-size-fits-all narrative that has no basis in science, common sense, or compassion. The experts tell parents that it is harmful to question their children's beliefs, that they must support their children's medical transition, which includes a lifetime dependence on hormones, and that if parents do not comply, their children will be at higher risk of suicide. These parents are being lied to.
Well, thank you, Ryan, for putting this panel together. It's a topic that everybody brings a different perspective to, and if you haven't come to the conclusion yet, this is very complicated, and it has many different layers, and I'm not sure that we're going to be able to get to all of them, but we definitely need to open up a discussion about it. I lived 8 years as a female named Laura Jensen after undergoing gender reassignment surgery in April of 1983. I started as a four-year-old kid in 1944. So I'm bringing to this conversation today 74 years of firsthand experience in some way, either living it or trying to deal with it or trying to recover from it. It's important, I think, to understand that everything that we've heard today is damaging to children. And I was damaged by this, and I have some very strong points of view. So I hope that don't take exception to them. They come out of pain. They come out of real life experience. I'm not trying to be hurtful to anybody, but I think that I have a website called sexchangeregret.com, and we get letters from either the parents or the transgenders themselves asking for help after they've lived the life like I did for 5, 6, 15, 18, 20, all the way up to 30 years, and they're saying, Walt, can you help me detransition? I think it's important for us to realize that there is actually nothing good about affirming a young boy 4 years old like my grandma did me. The moment you affirm a child like my grandma did, putting me in a purple chiffon dress and telling me how cute I was, how wonderful I looked, is that at the very same moment that you're affirming that young person, you're telling them there's something wrong with them, that you're not right. That is child abuse. We need to begin calling it what it is. It's not affirming a child. It's causing them to be depressed and anxious about who they are. And then we go on to inject hormone blockers into them and begin altering their body. Can we begin to understand today from these discussions how destructive this is to the psyche? It's no wonder they end up with separation anxiety and bipolar disorder, dissociative disorders, schizophrenia, and many other disorders that they want you to ignore. They want to block any child from having access to psychotherapy. The only reason that I'm able to speak to you today is because after 46 years of dealing with this issue, I was able to detransition in 1990 after I had extensive psychotherapy, the very same psychotherapy that they're trying to prevent people from having. Why? Because they don't want them to detransition. Because somebody like me puts a real bad mark on the idea that it's all good, because it isn't. I've recently written a book, Trans Life Survivors, that has the stories in them. It's painful to get these emails from people whose lives have been totally torn apart. Men like myself, who was married, had two children, had a career. I was an executive for American Honda Motor Company. One of those therapists who was an advocate for gender change surgery told me that what happened to you as a child wearing that purple dress, the only way to solve that is to have cross-gender hormones, and undergo reassignment surgery. That's the solution. Well, I trusted his expertise because Dr. Walker had actually written the original International Standards of Care for Treatment of Gender Identity Disorder or Gender Dysphoria. I'm here because he was wrong. I'm here because those standards of care have morphed into what they're using today. They haven't changed much. Yeah, they've gone through revision after revision, but the basic idea is that when somebody comes in, they can self-diagnose their gender dysphoria. We are manufacturing transgender kids. We are manufacturing their depression, their anxiety, and it's turned into a huge industry that people are profiting from after kids' lives are completely torn apart.